to the dad, pass, you know, look over at your dad beside your husband, whatever the case is, the guy in the row beside you, anybody, and you'll see that it says, Father, comma, provoke not your children to wrath, but, and then notice that in brackets as well as parentheses, it says purposefully. And that's because that's not in the verse. I had that because it's part of the title of the message, but clearly not as part of the verse. So it says, provoke not your children to wrath, but purposefully bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Because our message this morning is purposeful parenting. Parenting must be purposeful. It doesn't happen by accident. There's lots of folks who kind of treat parenting like, well, you know what? They're born, you raise them, they're gone. You know, just take it as it comes. No, it needs to be purposeful. It's just like missions. It's just like evangelism. It's like reaching the world with the gospel. Those apostles who started that mission of reaching the world had to be purposeful in what they did. When you read in the book of Acts, you see that they started in Jerusalem, then they went down to Antioch, and from Antioch, like the spokes of a wheel, they went out to the uttermost parts of the world. Very purposeful in their efforts to evangelize the world with the gospel. Well, moms and dads have to be purposeful in raising their children, especially spiritually. I know every once in a while I encounter parents who say to me, well, I don't want to impose my beliefs on my kids. I'm just going to let them choose. And I always find that to be so interesting. How many things do they approach life like that with? You know, I mean, when the child is born, do they say, we'll just wait until they want to eat? We'll let them choose. Listen, there'd be a lot of kids who would die because there's kids who don't want to eat. They're fussy, they don't like it, they don't. But what do parents, the parents say to them, you have to eat. You got to eat the vegetables, you have to eat something, you know, hot dogs, anything, but you have to eat something. You know, parents are smart enough to know that when it comes to time for kindergarten or first grade, they don't look at the little kindergarten and say, well, what do you think? You ready to go into the educational system? Let's contemplate this and consider this, and let's come up with a clear conclusion. Do you want to go to school tomorrow? That's not what they do. They prepare them. They get them ready. Man, they buy them a backpack, a water bottle. They get them excited about the new shoes, the new clothes, maybe going to ride the bus. By the time that first day comes, the kid is pumped, ready for the first day of school. But why is it that parents, when it comes to faith, church, eternal life, there some parents kind of feel like, well, whatever. We'll see how it works out. Sadly, oftentimes, it doesn't work out well. So my challenge to you this morning is that we need to be purposeful in our parenting. And when you look here at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, listen to what it says. And ye fathers, because today is Father's Day, but I also want all the moms and everybody who one day will be a mom or dad to jump in there and include themselves in the verse. Yes, I'm focusing on fathers for Father's Day, but everybody's included. So it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So while this is not a long verse, and certainly not a long text, there's a lot in this verse about you and I raising our children, raising our families. It's interesting when he starts out, he uses a very general term. He wants us to understand in verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's addressing all kids.
And then he comes down and he talks about mothers and fathers in verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So now he's pulled in all the kids. He's pulled in all the moms and dads, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. He's given us a wonderful promise. If we raise our children to know and love the Lord, it'll extend their lives. And then he hones in on dads. But moms, include yourself in this as well. He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And really, we can make that very broad. We don't have to make it just about children. Really, we should not be provoking anybody to wrath. You and I as Christians, we should not be provokers, period. You know, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's a companion verse to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. He's saying that when we provoke others, we beat them down. We discourage them. We suppress them. We reduce their ability to succeed. Now, he's not talking about discipline. He's not talking about guidance. He's talking about provoking to anger, maybe demeaning, ridiculing, doing things that are outside the bounds, provoking your children to be angry without guidance, without instruction, without a purpose, but just provoking them. He says, there's no need for that. There's no need for that in any part of life. Never mind raising the children that God has entrusted to our care. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So it's interesting when we start talking about, you know, not provoking our children to anger, the Bible has much to say about anger. He wants us to know that anger is not a productive thing. In fact, the scriptures teach us not to go to bed at night angry. But work out your issues, work out your struggles, your problems. Talk them through, resolve them, even between parents and kids. Proverbs 15:1, I made my children memorize this. I encourage you to make your children to memorize this verse. It's an important life verse. I use it all the time in my personal life, and it's a good investment for you to teach your children this verse. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. It's a principle that works in every part of life. That when something happens that makes you unhappy, instead of escalating the problem, what should we do? De-escalate it. Instead of coming back with angry, harsh words, come back with soft words. Begin to turn it down instead of turning it up. When you're young, sometimes you like to amp things up. As you get older, you realize, wow, man, sometimes that gets out of control. So you learn, let's kind of tune it down a bit. And that's what he's teaching us here in Proverbs 15:1. He's teaching us to remember that when something happens in our home, whether it's between a husband and wife, a parent and kids, or kids and parents, he says, listen, those contentious words, they provoke others to anger. They ratchet it up, but those soft words can turn it down. He's teaching us to not provoke one another to wrath, but rather consider each other, build each other up, that we may improve and grow and spiritually mature, instead of being stunted and beaten down. Go back with me, if you would, to Ephesians 6, verse 4. So he started out by saying, and ye fathers, parents, everybody, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so nurturing, my next point here is, nurture those you love. That takes purpose. You have to intend to do that, to nurture something. Certainly, we know that nurturing is a real part of human development. The Russians, decades ago, under the USSR, they did a test throughout their orphanages within the communist bloc, they decided to find out how much nurturing really mattered in the raising of children. So they took sections of orphanages and they only fed and changed those babies. And other sections of orphanages, they nurtured them. The caregivers would come in and rock them and hold them and express love and affection towards those children. The other ones only got the very basics of life. And they found out that the children who were not nurtured did not develop properly. Nurturing is a real part of parenting. It's a real part of loving one another and caring for one another. Even in your relationship as a husband and a wife, nurturing one another, genuinely caring for the goodness and the love of each other, one towards one another, is so important. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 5. It says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." This is a text of nurturing. Here you find the author, as God inspires him to pen these words, he reflects on his own personal childhood. And he says, you know what? My mom and dad nurtured me. They invested in me. Listen again what he says. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." You see, the nurturing and teaching of a father or a mother helps their children come to understanding. Rules are essential, but it is always good to give those rules with the understanding that there's a purpose for those rules, nurturing them to learn and grow. He goes on to say in verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." We as parents, what we invest in our children when we nurture them should be good, positive things. We should think about this. Is what I'm teaching my children good? Is it the good law? Is it the right and just thing? When I was growing up, my parents were not Christian people. And so therefore, many of the things they did, certainly, they didn't reflect the same values. But my folks would look at me once in a while and they'd say, "Don't do as I do, but do as I say." Now, what were they really saying? They're saying, "My example is bad. Don't do as I do, but do as I say." You and I as Christian parents, that should not come out of our mouths. It should be, "Do as I do." The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's what he said to us. And you and I as parents, if we're going to nurture our children and guide them through life, if we're going to give them that which is positive and good and purposely do it, it should be, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's a powerful truth. As we go back in Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to look at what he goes on to say in verse 3. He says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." So as he pens these words, he reflects back on his childhood. And he says, "You know what? My mom and dad, they loved me. I was precious to them. I was nurtured by them." And that's how we should be raising our kids. It shouldn't be that when our kids get older, they look back and they say, "Yeah, man, I had the meanest parents on the earth." And there are jokes about, "Yeah, I was a mean mom because I wouldn't let them go do this or this." Those are jokes. But in serious real life, it should be that when kids look at their parents, they understand that my mom and dad loved me. They nurtured me. I was precious to them. I was tender to them. That takes purpose. You have to work at that. Because the carnal nature, the sinful man, wants to be hard and demanding and harsh. God says, wait a minute. We need to nurture our children. Look with me as we go down to verse 4 in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. You see, the dad's instruction in this text in verse 4, he says to the kids, now listen, I'm teaching you, and I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I want you to retain my words, my commandments. But why? Look at that very last part of verse 4 there. It says, and live. Because, see, nurturing, purposeful parenting is not about you as a parent. It's about the kids. It's really not about us as moms and dads. I love Father's Day, dads. It's great. But you know what? Really, life is not about us. It'd be great. I mean, it would be wonderful if we could come home and kick off our shoes and everybody scurried around and put our slippers on and everybody's running around and getting us a little treat and a little fanning us, you know. It'd be great if we really were the emperor. But the reality is, as a parent, it's not all about us. And so here he's saying, because his parents purposely parented him, they said to him, listen, the reason I'm teaching you these principles, these commandments, is because I want you to live. I want you to enjoy life. My kids, when they were growing up, every once in a while, I would look at them when they were grouchy and sullen. I don't know if you've ever seen teenagers go through that stage. I'd look at them and I'd say, guys, listen, life is good. And I still do that to teenagers in our church. I'll stop and I'll say to them, life is good. It's okay to smile. It's okay to be happy. Life is pretty good. Because if we're not careful, we think life is not. Oh, man, my car's not running good. You know, you're in high school. My girlfriend broke up with me. My life's over. You know, who knows what? But in all honesty, life is good. And so these parents, they're purposely raising their son, and they're saying to him, the things I'm teaching you, it's not about me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm already raised. I'm doing this because I love you. And I want you to live. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to embrace the things God has for you. That's what is being talked about here in this text. Look with me down at verse 5 in the text I read to you, Proverbs chapter 4. Listen to what he says. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. You see, he's saying, I'm nurturing you for a reason. I'm teaching you for a reason. I'm investing in you for a reason. I want you to be wise. Why does he need to say that? Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 15, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many of you believe that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Take my word for it. It is true. The Bible says it. I believe it. But even if I didn't believe it, it's still true because the Bible says it. But absolutely, life shows us that. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. A child doesn't know. A child doesn't know not to chase the ball out into the street. Somebody has to teach them. A car will run you over. A child doesn't know that you can't play on the peak of the roof because you might fall off and break your neck. They've got to be told, hey, whoa, come on down. That's not good. That's not safe. There's a million things we teach our kids because bound in their heart is the foolishness of youth. And we as adults, we have to teach them. When our kids are just learning, just walking, we have to teach them, don't touch the knobs on the stove. They don't understand it. That looks like a toy to them. You've got to teach them. Every aspect of life, foolishness is bound in their hearts. But because we nurture them, because we love them, because we're concerned about them, because we care, we are purposeful in teaching them those important life lessons that they themselves might be wise. Go back with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. So we see in this text that you and I are not supposed to provoke one another to wrath. We see that we are supposed to nurture. That's part of purposeful parenting. But go back with me to Ephesians 6, 4, and I want you to hear the next thing. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and what? Admonition. To admonish. To discipline. To correct. To admonish our children." We live in an odd generation today. A generation where parents fear their children more than they fear the good for their children or the bad for their children. They're more worried about their child being mad at them or not being their best friend or their child crying than they're worried about what's the outcome of this. God says to us, listen, you've got to have the balance of purposeful parenting. Yes, you love them and you nurture them and you cuddle them and you teach them and instruct them and you guide them along with that loving hand. But every once in a while, because your child, bound in his heart is the foolishness of youth, they step outside what is wise and good and right. And so then we step in and we admonish them. We correct them. We realign them to the right. It's interesting. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." That is such an applicable verse. He's warning us. He's saying, while you can, while there is hope, you have to guide your children. You have to instruct them and correct them. Now, he uses those words purposefully because he knows sometimes parents wait until it's past hope. If you don't learn to teach your children the word no when they're six, I'll guarantee you at 16, you are too late. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying to us in Proverbs, he's saying to us, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Because see, what happens sometimes is, oh, I don't want Johnny to cry, so I'm not going to tell him no. I don't want Susie to cry, so I'm not going to get on her when she does wrong. I'll just fix it. So if they do wrong, I'll fix it. And if they do wrong, I'll fix it. But we'll just let them discover right and wrong. That does not work. In fact, we have a society pretty well out of balance because we have so many young adults trying to figure out what is right or wrong. A number of years ago, I sat down with a young woman in her early 20s who had gotten involved in an affair with a married man. And I sat down in my office with her and I'm talking to her. She's heartbroken. Horrible things have happened. And we started going down through it and just giving her the gospel, talking about it. And she looked at me and she said, well, I don't understand why everybody is so upset about this. She said, I didn't do anything wrong. I said, well, no, you did. You know, you're having an affair with another man's wife. That's wrong. She said, nobody's ever told me that's wrong. My parents never told me that was wrong. And she was serious as the day is long. I looked at her and said, don't you just know it's wrong? No. Listen, while there is hope, we teach our children right and wrong. And when they do wrong, we correct them while there is hope. so that when they get older, they're wise enough to know the difference and don't have to experience the consequences of doing wrong. Stop worrying about whether they cry. They're going to cry. Life will bring about enough lessons, they will cry. So it's okay, Mom and Dad, if you're part of the lesson process. Chasten thy son and thy daughter while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for their crying. One of the amazing things about crying is a tool. Have you ever noticed that? It's a tool. Listen, kids are smart enough to know when they can throw the switch. It goes. And the more you respond, the more they can crank it up. But not just kids. I've seen adults pull that tool right out of their toolbox too. We have to be mature enough to understand purposeful parenting. We love them more than it hurts to hear them cry. Proverbs 29:15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame." A child left to themselves brings shame to their parents and heartache to themselves. Purposeful parenting requires you and I looking at not only nurturing, but disciplining our children, that they might come into line with that which is good. Remember, I told you that the scriptures teach us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Nurturing is required. Discipline is required. It's part of purposeful parenting. When you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the last thing he says on this is, I want you to notice with me, he says, "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition," and what are those last two words? The Lord. The Lord. That's the key. That's the key. You have to teach your kids to know and love the Lord. The Lord is the one who sets the standard of life that guides us throughout our life. He sets the standards of right and wrong that never change with a shifting and changing society. Why was that young lady so confused about, was it wrong for her to have an affair with a married man? She was confused because society has shifted and changed so much. It tells you, do what feels good, do what you want to do. Love the one you're with, on and on and on the phrases go. She was confused by a shifting and changing culture. But the laws of God are solid, permanent. They teach us values that we need to pass on to our children, that our children might live, that they might love life. When you go to the New Testament, it's interesting when you come to 1 and 2 Timothy and you see Timothy and his relationship with the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "You're even as a son to me." But then he goes on and he says to Timothy, he says, "I see in you the faith of your grandma and your mom." Parents, you make a huge difference in your children's lives. Huge. If I could say it like Donald Trump, I would. It's just huge. You and I, as parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, cousins, friends, every time we touch a child's life in a purposeful and meaningful way, we change them in some way. Some people touch children and change them horribly wrong. That should never be us. It should be that we nurture and, yes, discipline. Not for us, but for them. That they might know and love the Lord. That's our goal. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. as our head is bowed and as we look in our hearts, I simply ask you this morning, are you willing to let God use you to shape and make the next generation? Will you nurture and admonish those that God puts into your care? All for the Lord. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service, Lord, as each of us have our heads bowed and as we look in our hearts, Lord, I ask that you would help us to take just a moment of silent prayer and to commit ourselves to you, to be purposeful in nurturing and admonishing the next generation. Let's just take a moment of silent prayer and let's talk to God. Father in heaven, as we come to the end of our service, Lord, we thank you and praise you for the very gift of life. Every boy and girl who comes through our families, we know are a gift from you. Every dad here is honored to be given the privilege to invest in his offspring. Lord, help us to be the dads we should be. Help us to be purposeful. And the moms as well, Lord. This is not just pointed at the men. It's for all of us. And Lord, throughout our sanctuary are young people who have yet not found that person you have for them for the rest of their lives. I pray that you would bring by their way a strong Christian young man or young woman who they can invest their lives in, and also bring about the next generation. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church as we strive to be purposeful in investing in the next generation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.